This is a very difficult broadcast to even record. This is the most difficult and the most important that I've recorded this year. Brighttown Broadcast News, Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me. We are about to enter World War III. The mass bombings are about to begin within hours or days. It looks like every sign is pointing to massive, massive detonations. Trump declared that all the people of Tehran should evacuate. And they started to do so. Although I think Tehran has, I don't know the exact pronunciation. I think it's got 16 million people. You can't really evacuate a city that large. And certainly not in the time frame that Trump seems to be implying, a sense of urgency. Israel has, of course, gone completely insane. Netanyahu is a satanic, demonic liar. And all of those who back him, from Glenn Beck to Mark Levin to Sean Hannity and Fox News, they are literally serving Satan. And they are pulling the same tricks that we all saw during the Gulf War and then the justification of the wars on Iraq and Afghanistan. It was always faked intelligence, all of it, yellow cake, whatever, weapons of mass destruction. It was all fake. They came up with it to justify the attacks, and they're doing that now. They're doing that now. They claim that Fox News says they've just discovered a secret Iranian nuclear weapons site. Oh, just out of the blue, they discovered it, and this is going to justify a massive bombing campaign that's going to set off World War III. Your time window to prepare for this has just about collapsed. You may have hours remaining before the bombs fall. They may fall before you even get this podcast. But I suspect we have at least another 24 hours or so. Look, Trump has dispatched 25-plus large military cargo planes and fuel tankers, mid-air refueling planes, to aid Israel's war on Iran. Trump is all in with the Zionists. He has betrayed MAGA. He's betrayed MAGA on so many levels now, it's astonishing. Trump has gone completely rogue. He's putting Israel first and America last, and he's sacrificing MAGA on the altar of Zionism. That's effectively what Trump is doing. And I don't know if they've got blackmail on him, Epstein files, who knows what, but it's bad. On top of this, I have further confirmation from the consciousness-directed molecular self-assembly experiment that I've been running these last few days or weeks. You know, the remote viewing experiments. I've got another bombshell image that popped out that I'm going to share with you here shortly. Yet another astonishing confirmation that the morphic fields encode the past, present, and future, and that future events are encoded in the images on this slide. As you will soon see, I'm going to show you a video and some images that will just absolutely blow your mind. And then also I have a new song that I really worked hard to put it together, and it's called We're Running Out of Time. And I worked hard to put this together because we're running out of time. We are almost out of time. Humanity is potentially just about at its last days as we know it. Because not only is Israel poised to either nuke Iran or to use a fusion bomb or a neutron bomb, probably in Tehran. But if that happens, then it's very likely that Israel is going to be nuked in retaliation, and that it may be nuked by multiple countries. It might be nuked by Pakistan or Russia or China. And Iran may itself have nuclear weapons that it has been withholding, or maybe it has just acquired them because Israel has given Iran no choice. the choice to Iran is either acquire nukes or be destroyed. You know, that's what Trump was pushing on Iran when Trump said, you know, they didn't take the deal. Well, it's not a deal when you hold a gun to somebody's head and say, give up all your weapons and then we'll destroy you. That's not a deal. That's suicide. And Iran said no. Other countries took that deal, like Libya, and what happened to them? Destroyed. Destroyed. And leaders assassinated, etc. That's what the West does. So we are literally witnessing right now what could be the final days of human civilization because of the destruction that will be unleashed by a demonic cult known as Zionism, or the modern day Israeli nation state, which is run by Satan, and it has ensnared most of the Christian Zionists in America. And those Christian Zionists are actually cheering for the end of the world because they're part of an end times cult where they think they need the end of the world for Jesus to come back and lift them up with the rapture. And they are so deluded. They are just satanically hypnotized, absolutely delusional. This is not a Jesus moment. This is a mass death moment that is being unleashed. And all of those who are cheering for this, these are the same people who cheered for the bombing of the children in Gaza. And these are mostly the same people who cheered the vaccine jabs and the lockdowns and all the other forms of mass death and suffering and the sacrifice of children, etc. It's all the same people. Like U.S. senators that push vaccines are also all pro-Israel. So make no mistake what you are watching here right now. And these really are horrific end times that are being put in place by human beings. Not by God, but in opposition to God. So knowing what's at stake in all of this, I have been scrambling to be able to go through my slide of the remote viewing experiment. And it's very difficult because every square centimeter takes about an hour for me to assess and to try to find the patterns and the objects that are in it. And there are, I don't know, 25 square centimeters or something like that. I've only gone through about maybe 10 of them at this point. So I was trying to go through more. And sure enough, yesterday, an image popped up. I talked about it yesterday. Do you recall me saying that I had seen something that resembled a fighter jet or some kind of advanced fighter jet on the ground sitting on the tarmac? Do you recall that? I'm going to show you this image of what that turned out to be, because remember, well, let me just show you this image. It's a side-by-side, and I want you to know that what's on the left is what my remote viewing experiment created and sketched, and then what is on the right just popped up on the internet in the last day because of an Israeli missile strike on an aircraft in Iran. So let me show you that image right now. So as you can see from this image, like I was saying, so on the left, that's the microscopy image of the fighter jet that I was talking about yesterday. I don't think I showed it to you yesterday, but I'm showing it to you today. And this is on the slide, which I actually created this slide in late May, but I started scanning it around June 2nd. And on the right, this is the satellite image of the F-14s that Israel just bombed, and that image just began to show up on the internet in the last 24 hours. Now, I want to show you the similarities between these two images. On the left, the remote viewing experiment, of course, you can see it shows the plane shape, the wings, the tail sticking up. It shows the engine cowlings, as you can see there, two of the engine cowlings on either side. It shows the cockpit. It shows what looked like kind of winglets or canards kind of midway along the length of the plane. It has the same shadow on the north side or the top side as does the satellite image. It's also got a shadow on the south side. it shows a texture that's almost exactly the same as the tarmac that these planes are sitting on. And there are other details about this, such as the texture of the body of the airplane. Turns out these are F-14 Tomcats that Iran has. So these are much older jets. I think these were originally flown in, what, the 1970s in the United States. And, they're quite old. I didn't realize this when I first saw the image. But look at the proportions and the shape of this image, because it's an exact match once again. Now, you might be sitting there saying, well, where did this image come from that I'm talking about with the F-14 Tomcats? Let me show you the video that was just released by Israel that shows the bombing of that F-14. Here's the video. Okay, so here's the satellite image released by Israel of the bombing of these F-14s. Again, on the tarmac, right there. Let's loop it a couple times so everybody can get a good look at this. And that is exactly what the remote viewing experiment also managed to show. And then here I want to show you a photo. This is a satellite photo of the F-14 Tomcats, kind of a zoomed out image so you can see that we are not making this up. Now, it's worth noting that Iran says that those were just wooden decoys. And they claim that Israel wasted its missiles just blowing up wooden decoys. There's no way that you or I can know that, but the F-14 Tomcat is a very old plane, so, you know, who knows? Tom Cruise flew one in the Top Gun Maverick movie. But I think that's the last time anybody saw one of these things fly. I'm not sure. Maybe in a museum somewhere. It's hard to say. Maybe there are some active F-14s that are out there, but who knows? Nevertheless, the important point here is that the remote viewing experiment saw that as well. And it, as you saw yesterday and the day before, I've been covering this, it's very clear that the images that are being rendered by the xylitol crystals in this experiment, these images are showing the future. They're showing events to come. And I can say that with absolute confidence and absolute proof, because I published most of the images almost 2 weeks before the events happened. By the way, in case anybody's wondering. And that's all on the record. The images are at naturalnews.com. I published most of them June 2nd. Now, out of those images now, plus this F-14 image, we have 4 confirmed images that have come true now. And one of the most compelling is the Tel Aviv missile strike image, which I'll show you right now. Now, remember that on the right half, that's the image that my microscope picked up on June 2nd. And then on the left, that's the image of Tel Aviv being hit by missiles on June 13th. And notice that the buildings are exactly the same. Tall building structure, half and half. One side is slightly taller than the other. And then on the right is a much shorter, smaller building. You can even see the windows. You can see the vertical divider in the tall building, etc. So this is just another image. Plus, we have the one-horned ram that has also come true because of the decapitation strike on Iran, etc. And then also don't forget about the falcon in the burning tree. I showed you that image before. Okay, so we now have out of this slide, which, again, I actually created this, well, I allowed it to create itself late May. I didn't even really start scanning it until early June, and I'm still going through it. But 4 confirmed images now that are almost exact renderings of real events that took place weeks later, okay? I understand that this is hard to get your heads around. It's so unusual that very few people are tracking what I'm talking about here. But the reason I'm bringing this to you is because we now have a mechanism to be able to view with certainty incoming events. And I believe it's incoming events that are strongly emotionally charged. Events of war or death, or maybe love and celebration as well, because I do have a slide on love and celebration. I also, I created two new slides today about some other things. And those are in the process of self-assembly right now, that the crystals are forming, and I'll be looking at them under the microscope tomorrow, hopefully doing some scanning. And I'm also going to continue scanning the Middle East war slide that brought you all these images of the buildings, the F-14, the one-horned ram, the falcon, and everything else. Also want to remind you of this image of the aircraft carrier being bombarded. At least that's what I think the image is. So this image appears to show the missile attacks or bombings of an aircraft carrier that's floating on the ocean. It's not as clear as the F-14, admittedly. So I don't know if the clarity of the images has to do with how likely they are in the multiple possible futures, because there are multiple possible futures. The future is not set. We get to change it based on what we do and what we say and what we think. Because, well, we are conscious beings, etc. I've talked about that. But I believe this image shows an aircraft carrier being bombed, and the USS Nimitz has been dispatched to the Middle East. It's due to be retired next year. It's a 50-year-old ship. I mentioned this yesterday. It looks to me like that's going to be set up as a false flag, or at least it's one of the possibilities that the Nimitz will be attacked. I mean, it's practically floating around with a giant sink me sign on its back. I mean, why do they send it there? Why do they send it there? It's crazy. And then I have one more image to show you that I don't know what this is. I'm actually asking for help identifying this. And I call it the flaming jar. Let me show you this. As you can see from this image, it appears to show some kind of jar or container with flames and smoke coming out of the top. And the reason I'm sharing this publicly is because it's a very deliberate sketch of something. Now, with all of these, I don't know if it's even rotated correctly. So maybe this is upside down. Maybe it's something pouring out of a jar. Maybe it should be on the side. Maybe this means something to some of you watching. Maybe this is a cultural object in Islam, maybe in Judaism, maybe something in the Middle East that I don't know. Maybe this has some symbolic significance. We've found that to be the case with the one-horned ram and other examples. So I don't know what this means, but it really struck me as something that was very significant. And then there's one more image I'm going to show you here. Well, at least one more. This is labeled monolith. And it's in the E3 quadrant of the slide, by the way. And the last one I showed you from the jar, let's see, what quadrant is that from? That's from B6. That's interesting. B6. How is that in B6? Okay. This image, monolith, I jokingly call this the time machine. I don't know what this is, but popped up in the slide, and this is the same slide as everything else that I've shown you here. It popped up as a monolith structure that's sort of radiating energy waves. And I don't know if it's like a secret weapon system, like an energy weapon, a Tesla coil, like a time machine from the Terminator. I really don't know. It's another thing that struck me as something that just really, really stood out. And I had to just share this with you. Maybe you know what it is. Maybe you know a lot more than I do about what this is. I can't say what this is. Well, actually, I'm going to show you one more image. The name of this image is War Arm Claw. I call it Satan's Claw pouring out vengeance upon Earth. And it looks like an outstretched arm with a claw on the end of it. And then underneath is all of this fire, and some of it's multicolored. Some of it looks like fire. Some of it at the bottom looks like explosions, etc. And it looks like the planet Earth there, that all of Earth is on fire. So, you know, symbolically, you could take this to mean that Satan is going to set our world on fire. Satan is working through Netanyahu, working through the Christian Zionists, working through all of the pro-Israel influencers, etc. They are all minions of Satan. It's abundantly obvious at this point, and it needs to be stated. But like many images, this one is pretty abstract, so it's open to many different interpretations. It's not a literal image, but rather a message. And I do think the universe is trying to communicate to us through a variety of means to beg us to not destroy ourselves. In fact, I think that the universe is begging us to pay attention. The universe is begging us. Let me show you another image that I call mushroom cloud. This is in the H1 quadrant of this slide. It's a very colorful image. Does it look like maybe a city on fire to you? I mean, again, this is pretty abstract. You could interpret it in lots of different ways. It looks to me like there's a couple of prominent buildings in the middle, and then there's a lot of fire. Something's on fire, and the skies are multicolored, and there's turmoil everywhere. So this is just one of the additional images that has popped up. And again, that's in the H1 quadrant right there. I've got another image. I'm not going to show you this one today, but it's a sharp-eared cat perched on a sand dune, which seems to indicate Egypt to me because of the history of Egypt and the use of cats in prominent cultural imagery. And you know what? Let me just show you one more image. This is called G2 Monolith Mountain. Looks like a cocoon of a human perched on the edge of a cliff with a cosmic background. You know, it's very distinct. And I think one of the reasons that people have a hard time understanding what this is because it's just not connecting. That when I tell people that you're looking at an image that was self-assembled by xylitol molecules in response to a prompt, people just don't understand what that means. And that this is a microscopy image taken at magnification. This one might be 150 times magnified. And for a typical person, they just can't fathom, because this, no one has seen this before. As far as I know, I'm the only person to ever do this. And no one has seen it. No one understands what's going on. And they can't believe that what they're looking at is an image painted by molecules. But it is. Literally everything that you are seeing here and everything that you have seen in all the other images that I showed you is nothing but xylitol sweetener crystals that reformed into these shapes. Everything. That's what you've been seeing. Okay, and I've got so many more of these that would just blow your mind, but I'm not going to go through them all right now. I'll probably have to end up doing some kind of a documentary on this, but I do believe that the universe is speaking to us and begging us to not destroy ourselves. And of course, Netanyahu, who's a minion of Satan, he's trying to convince everybody to go along with self-destruction. And sadly, you know, all the Zionist influencers and the Christian pastors that support Israel, they're all going along with it. They're all going along with their own total destruction. So is Trump. So are many others. And it's a suicide cult. Like, we are living under a global suicide cult right now, and they are in power. They are in charge. And as some of the images from this slide previously showed you, stealth bombers will be flying over the Middle East. Stealth bombers will be flying. And there's one image I'm not going to show you for sure, because it's too disturbing. It's too disturbing. I'll describe it though. It's an image of a massive explosion at the level of a city. It has the pressure dome exploding over the city with smoke and lots of small buildings in the foreground. It seems to be just in the first few seconds of a massive detonation. But it doesn't look like a nuclear explosion. It looks like something else, some kind of massive, like a thermobaric or a conventional explosive. It actually looks like, do you recall that explosive event in Beirut a few years ago at the port of Beirut? It looks like that. That's on this slide. I don't want to publish that today because I don't want to put it into your consciousness, frankly. So let's move on. So I've put together this song for you called We're Running Out of Time. And I've been working on this for a number of days. Took a while to get this one right. And then I did a really quick and dirty kind of music video rendering for today. This isn't the final music video, but I just wanted to just have something for you today. So there's something to look at. But I'm going to play the song for you. I don't know if my editor will have time to put lyrics on the screen. So you may not see the lyrics today, but I am going to release the song later with the full lyrics in it, you know, the captions and, you know, better graphics, etc. But enjoy the song. It's a heartfelt song. It's a very important message for our time. And it says we're running out of time. And basically the message of the song is that we have to learn to love each other or we will destroy ourselves. That's the message. And we are at the brink of that right now. So let me play the song and then we'll continue on the other side.
She walked along a dusty road, shuffling away. The bombs fell in the distance, echoing across the bay. He pulled a broken child out of rubble with a prayer. His spirits crushed the pain too much for any man to bear. If hatred is a weapon, then love keeps us alive. And kindness feels like heaven, compassion makes us thrive. If we can love each other, we survive together. We can give one another a future that's better. If we care for the other, let's make something better than the world we left behind. We're running out of time, of time. We're running out of time.
They fought the Western Corridor until the cause was lost. Defenses held until they fell at a catastrophic cost. She holds a newborn baby in her arm till daylight breaks. She feeds another precious soul with everything it takes.
If we can love each other, we survive.
Time!
we can love each other, we survive together. We can give one another a future that's better if we care for the other. Let's make something better than the world we left behind.
All right, there you go. My new song, Running Out of Time. And I ran out of time finishing that song for you, by the way. really wanted to get this out today because I feel like we are running out of time. And part of the urgent message for you right now, I'm going to shift to this, is the preparedness aspects of this. So let's talk about some practical things. When the fusion bomb detonates, or the neutron bomb detonates, or the nukes detonate, the world that you know will be gone. It will be replaced with, it'll be a divergence into a very dark multiverse future, or a timeline, let's say. And that timeline, the whole world will be living in abject fear and panic. Everybody who is able to will panic purchase everything from gold to storable food to ammunition and guns and, you know, fuel, everything. You're going to see everything wiped out on the store shelves, nearly everything. At retail, people are going to panic buy in every city on the planet, if they can. If they've got the money or the credit card, they don't even care. If they go into debt, it doesn't matter. They're going to go in and panic buy everything they can, even in America. That is, if a nuke goes off. Because anybody paying attention knows that it won't stop with one nuke. It won't stop with one nuke. That will be the beginning of a domino effect of retaliation and escalation that will lead us into a global nuclear war. And you know the players here. It's East versus West, okay? It's East versus West. The West would be Israel, a satanic, genocidal, evil state. The U.S. Empire, global colonizers, global warmongers, neocons, starting wars with Russia, threatening the whole world, carrying out CIA assassinations, etc. Plus the UK, the hub of satanic evil for centuries, going all the way back to freaking vampires and sucking the blood of children and everything else that those pedos and vampires do there. We are talking centuries of demonic evil stacked upon evil like a giant evil sandwich. Like a multi-layered evil stack of evil pancakes or something with evil syrup on top in the UK. All right, so that's the West. Obviously, there's Germany and there's France and there's Spain and there's Australia and New Zealand and Canada and Taiwan and Japan. Okay, so those are the Western countries. They are at war with the Eastern countries. They are at war. Now, really, remember, all wars are banker wars, so this is actually a currency war, where the West is attacking Iran because of BRICS, among other reasons, but BRICS is a big part of it. This is really an attack and an attempt to destroy BRICS unity. So who are the BRICS nations? Well, it's the Eastern nations. Sometimes also some of the members are called the Global South, although that's not such a great term. But of course it's Russia, it's China, it's Iran, it's Brazil, South Africa, North Korea, Vietnam just joined BRICS, by the way. It's also really Malaysia, it's Pakistan, and even Turkey is talking about going in that direction. Now, many of these countries, and there are others, many of these countries are Islamic, obviously such as Iran and Turkey, and they're not all the same. You know, it's Shia and it's Sunni, and there's different factions, obviously, just like there is in Christianity. And Russia is not Islam, and China is not Islam. But all of these Eastern countries together, they are the team that is fighting against the just runaway satanic evil of the West. You know, the West is the center of abortions and transgender mutilations and the exporting of transgenderism. The whole LGBT nonsense came from the West. And that's why Russia has rejected it and China has rejected it and obviously Iran rejected it, etc. So the source of satanic evil in our world today is actually the Western nations, Israel, the U.S. government, the U.K. government, etc. So there is a war on our planet against Satan. And in that war, the Satanists, the bad guys, are our own Western governments. The primary source of demonic evil and destruction and death is coming from the West. That's what the Eastern countries are actually fighting against, along with the currency sanctions and the currency domination of the West. So this is the big battle between East and West, and it's winner take all. In other words, it's all or nothing. Russia has more nuclear weapons, I believe, than any other country. China has thousands of nuclear warheads. Of course, so does the United States. Pakistan has a few hundred. India has a few hundred. I forgot to mention India. That seems crazy because India is so large. But India tries to play the middle ground on this. They are usually considered a Western country, but they are friendly to other trading partners, such as Turkey and China and Russia. So India, which is, of course, not Islamic primarily, it's Hindu. India, which has had conflicts with Pakistan and with China, puts India more with the West, but India doesn't have a very capable military, and they don't have much in the way of nuclear weapons, although they have enough to do a lot of damage. So here we are with all these nukes and all these conflicts and all these Satanists and all this intense evil. No one more evil on planet Earth today than Netanyahu himself. He is Satan's actual minion in the flesh. He lies every time he speaks. He cannot help but lie. And he has total control over Trump. So Trump is serving as Satan's minion's minion because Trump is serving Netanyahu and Netanyahu is Satan's minion. So Trump is like, he's the lower level minion of Satan's minion. He's not even a high level minion, but he's doing what Satan's minion wants him to do. And as a result, they are going to set our world on fire. And this fire could kill billions of people, and that's probably part of the plan. And there's no question that this fire will cause severe economic damage worldwide. The supply chain will be absolutely crushed. The energy markets will be crushed, etc. From this point forward, the human population will likely suffer a rapid collapse, especially if nukes start to fly, which could be hours away, frankly. The survivors of this nuclear holocaust. You know, think about it. Israel always complains about the holocaust, but they're going to unleash a nuclear holocaust on our world. Because, of course, they always accuse their enemies of what they themselves are doing. Everything Israel accuses Hamas of doing, Israel is doing itself. Everything Israel accuses Iran of doing, that's because Israel is doing it. You know, torturing prisoners, you know, lying about weapons, etc. Israel has nukes, and they won't allow any IAEA inspectors. They won't even acknowledge that they have nuclear weapons because they're all illegal. Israel is a criminal cartel of Satanists, an end times cult of highly destructive Satanists who are seeking the end of the world because they think that God will save them. you know, Ezekiel 38 and 39, etc. They literally think God will save them if they destroy the whole world. And boy, are they in for a surprise. God actually destroys Israel in the end. I've covered that. But anyway, the survivors of all of this will be those who are prepared. It's very clear. Mass famine will kick in. There will be nuclear radiation fallout worldwide at some level, but obviously concentrated in the Middle East, and it will get, some of it will go to Russia, some of it will go to, depending on the wind, maybe the Mediterranean region, some of it to possibly Africa, Eastern Europe, definitely Russia, definitely Pakistan, India, etc. This will be a humanitarian catastrophe on a scale that our world has never seen before. And the closest thing to this would be, of course, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, when the United States dropped atomic weapons, which were very, very, you know, relatively weak compared to today's nuclear weapons, yields of something like 15 kilotons equivalent. And when those were dropped on two civilian cities in a mass satanic blood ritual, sacrifice to Satan, to sacrifice hundreds of thousands of Japanese civilians as a satanic worship ritual. That's what the United States did. And that was part of the U.S. Demonstrating its loyalty to Satan, of course. And then, I believe, what was it, 1971? Was that the Supreme Court abortion decision? Which has since been overturned. But the original decision was also a blood ritual, a mass sacrifice of human babies to Satan, and that helped cement America's position as a satanic headquarters for planet Earth. And then there were other blood rituals, such as dropping napalm on the citizens of Vietnam, also dropping Agent Orange. And I don't know if you know this, but Agent Orange is 50% glyphosate and 50% 2,4-D, which is a weed killer. So they were dropping cancer-causing glyphosate all over the civilians of Vietnam. And that was carried out by the Pentagon, which is, of course, you know, the Satan's weapons division. The Pentagon serves Satan 100%, always has. And Vietnam wasn't the last example of this. You know, the Gulf War, everything was just lies. Oh, we found weapons of mass destruction. We have to bomb this country. We have to attack Saddam Hussein. Oh, he was responsible for 9/11. You know, all made up, all lies, never even made any sense. Didn't matter. The American people bought it, and millions of people died. In Iraq alone, it was 500,000 civilians just because of the destruction of infrastructure. So the United States bombed a country to cause mass starvation of children, far more deaths than what we've seen in Gaza. The United States did that. So I'm just giving you these examples to show you that the U.S. government, at least since World War II, has been a satanic cabal that also ran biological experiments on its own civilians, its own soldiers, its own prisoners. It's a long history of massive experiments, you know, not just COVID and the vaccine depopulation bioweapons injections, but I'm talking about aerosolized bioweapons bacterial strains. Operation, what was it? Was it Sea Spray or Ocean Spray? I think that was 1950. The U.S. military was dropping bioweapons into the atmosphere, basically chemtrailing the people of San Francisco. And that's on the record. And there are dozens of examples of this. So the U.S. government has been a satanic enterprise for generations. And today, MAGA, the MAGA movement, now consists of really two factions. There are the true pro-liberty America First people that want their country back and want their freedoms back. And then there are the MAGA Zionists, who are a bunch of paid satanic shills. And, you know, those people are just demanding world war and ultimately the total destruction of humanity is what they're going to get. And that's lots of senators. It's lots of influencers on X. It's prominent so-called journalists, you know, like Mark Levin and Glenn Beck and others, who, in my opinion, are leading us down a satanic path of total destruction. You even have senators like Ted Cruz of Texas demanding that we bomb Iran because Iran did not agree to completely dismantle their nuclear centrifuges. Well, why should they? It's not illegal for countries to have civilian nuclear power generation. That's a fundamental humanitarian right by every nation in the world under UN treaties to have nuclear power or to have coal power or natural gas power, hydropower, solar power, wind power. Senator Ted Cruz and others say, well, we determine that Iran has no right to have this source of power, and we're going to destroy Iran if it doesn't comply. Well, that's illegal. That's a crime, an international crime against the sovereign nation of Iran, whether or not you agree with Iran's politics or religion or whatever. Senator Cruz or President Trump, none of them have any right to run around the world and dictate to other countries what forms of civilian energy that they're allowed to pursue. So America's in the wrong. Morally, legally, ethically, America is wrong. Israel is wrong. Israel's satanic. And in this case, Iran is on the right side of this issue of domestic nuclear power. So again, the survivors of this will be those who are well prepared. Now, fortunately, I'm blessed to know all of you listening to this. We are blessed to know each other. And you are blessed by the fact that you're probably way more prepared than most people by far. So there have been many instances over the last few years where we've needed to review our level of preparedness based on the risk assessment of what's about to happen. And more recently, we've had a lot of domestic risk of anti-Trump, you know, Trump assassination attempts, radical left-wing uprisings. We just had a left-wing uprising, which is, you know, the No Kings protests, etc., which, I don't know, didn't really seem to be that effective. It was mostly a lot of, like, really elderly people, it seems. I'm not sure. But I'm grateful we didn't have any major false flags during that event because I want people to be safe. But if you aren't prepared for an actual nuclear war, then you're probably not prepared enough for what looks like is going to happen. Even if it's not a nuclear war, if it's just limited to conventional weapons, it really does look like Trump is marching us aggressively into a mass bombing campaign of Iran, which will almost certainly result in the closing of the Strait of Hormuz, which will cause global energy prices to absolutely skyrocket. And it will cause supply chain disruptions galore. It will lead to global famine, instability, business collapse, economic devastation, economic depression in America and other Western countries, etc. Now, remember that the U.S. government has built deep underground military bases, or DUMs, and they've been stocking those underground cities with all kinds of food and supplies and ammo for many, many years. They are prepared to survive a year or more underground if the surface of the earth is rendered uninhabitable due to radiation or other things. However, they don't allow, obviously, citizens into those bunkers, just like in Israel, they did not allow all of their workers into their bunkers just over the last couple of days. It's only the Israeli citizens that got to use the bunkers. Everybody else was blocked. You know, good luck. So the government is aware that there are going to be massive global scale events of mass destruction, but the Western governments aren't telling you about it. They're just preparing themselves, of course, because that's totally aligned with the satanic agenda of achieving mass destruction of human populations. It's not a bad idea to model some of that preparedness. I don't mean to build a giant underground bunker because, you know, you and I can't just print currency by the billions and then buy whatever we want. The government can do that, but we can't do that. So whatever you're able to put together, whether it's storable food, emergency first aid, emergency communications, all of these things make important sense. And, you know, fortunately, I've shared a lot of sponsors with you, a lot of contacts, a lot of sources about this over the years. The satellite phone store, you know, backup comms, backup sat phones, backup satellite communications, bandwidth, Starlink systems, solar generators, the whole deal. So if you're missing any of that, then pick it up. Sat123.com is the website, sat123.com. If you're missing any backup food supplies, of course, we offer that, healthrangerstore.com. If you're missing backup medicine, you know, find online sources where you can get emergency first aid. Essential oils are very handy for lots of purposes. Chlorine dioxide is excellent. And you can get chlorine dioxide from the Safrax company. I've got a link to them at rangerdeals.com. And the discount code listed there, which is Ranger, will save you 10%. And you should have all kinds of emergency equipment available, including, of course, self-defense means and some level of ammunition or flashlights or, you know, manual food grinders, etc. Count on the power grid not functioning for an extended period of time. Because, of course, if Trump greenlights this mass bombing, then Iranian operatives in the United States could go active and they could really start targeting the power grid. And it's not going to be a pretty situation for any of us, especially if Russia or China or Pakistan enter this, or if Israel starts launching nukes and then there's nuclear retaliation, then this whole situation gets out of hand very rapidly, very rapidly. And prepare for every possibility at this point. I have no question in my mind that the U.S. is going to bomb Iran and it's going to escalate. It's going to escalate into a multi-country a retaliation sequence. It's not going to all happen in one day. This could stretch out over many weeks or even many months, but World War III has begun, and I don't see Trump walking this back at all. If anything, I see Trump going all in with Israel, lying to the American people, saying that he wants peace when he doesn't. He's clearly just a puppet of the Zionists, and he's going to sacrifice America on the altar of Zionism. And Americans' blood will be spilled in the Middle East to appease the satanic entities that Netanyahu worships. So we're about to see where all this goes, obviously, and it's not looking good at all. I'm going to play a featured interview for you here today, and I'm going to also pray for peace, pray for humanity, and pray that Trump has the wisdom to ignore the Zionists and the neocons in his own administration, and that he will back off of this and extricate America from fighting Israel's wars, because that's obviously a disaster. So join me in that prayer and join me in calling for Israel to, stop attacking its neighbors, stop the genocide, stop the mass bombing. If anybody needs to be denuclearized in the Middle East, it's Israel itself. Join me in calling for peace. Peace is the only pathway for a human future. And I know many of you agree with me on that. So let's hope we can achieve that together. All right. If we are still here tomorrow, I'll be back with you. Thanks for joining me. Take care. Welcome to today's interview. I've got in studio with me a hero of health freedom for America, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Her website is drtenpenny.com. There it is, drtenpenny.com. And she joins me in studio today to talk about her new book and so much more. Welcome, Dr. Tenpenny.
Thank you so much to see you in person. I always see you through Zooms or something, you know?
I know it's been several years since we've seen each other in person. You look great. Your research is phenomenal.
I just want our audience to know that I think you do the most research of anybody in this movement, of anybody, in terms of backing your conclusions, like the mechanisms of injury that you're very well known for. You documented scientifically every mechanism of injury of the COVID vaccines. How many mechanisms have you identified, by the way?
Well, actually, I stopped at 40 because I figured that was enough.
Yeah, right.
If we already know 40 different ways this can make you chronically sick or kill you, I think that another 40 wouldn't matter.
Right. I agree. But you arrived at these conclusions about vaccines, though, through meticulous research.
Yeah, early on. I mean, the COVID jabs were released in December of 2020 and early in 21. And I did the 40 mechanisms of injury in May of 21. So by that period of time, I had already identified 20 mechanisms of injury. And bad planning on my part, we did the webinar on Mother's Day weekend.
I remember that. I do remember that, yeah.
And a lot of people went, oh, I can't see it. Can you do it again? Can you do it again? So we rescheduled it for July. And between May and July of 21, I found an additional 20 mechanisms of injury. So there were 40. And it was interesting because nobody else was talking about that at that point in time. And it's been interesting from 21 through 25 to see all these papers come out, like they're with big accolades and all this stuff. Look what we found. And it's like, yeah, I found that back in 21.
Right, you know? Right. So. And your mechanisms of injury have really proven to be true. You know, sadly, we all pray for those who have been injured or killed by these vaccines. You tried to prevent it. I did too. But I've even noticed that even in the last 6 months, for example, my overseas R&D teams that were working on our AI engine, Enoch, many of them got sick, hospitalized, and had to stop working, I believe, because of vaccines. I mean, it's affecting young people. And it's very disrupting, not only to their lives, but also to those of us who are hiring them. I have never seen this level of sickness and hospitalization in people in their 20s and 30s before.
Well, and that's where the turbo cancers are mostly kicking in. I mean, we're seeing cancers in young people, like really young people, like 8, 10, 12-year-old. And the cancers that we're seeing, the turbo cancers we're seeing in that age group, are generally cancers that you see in more elderly adults, like adults in their 50s and 60s, like breast cancer and colon cancer, and even 12 and 14-year-olds with prostate cancer.
What?
Yes, there've actually been reports of that. And so I'd heard a video, this was a few months ago now, from an oncologist who's probably about my age. And he said, I have never seen colon cancer in 8-year-olds before, like what we're seeing now. And, you know, for your audience, you know, the definition of a turbo cancer, you've probably talked about this before, but it means that from the time it's diagnosed until it's stage 4 and you die is so short that they can't even properly stage it, and not even really any time for any chemotherapy or any radiation or even natural therapies or whatever they're going to do. It happens so fast. I frequently tell about a young man that was in my community that played in a soccer tournament on Friday. By Monday, over the weekend, he didn't feel well. He had a low-grade fever. By Monday, his mom took him to the doctor, who just got a simple CBC, found he had leukemia, really advanced leukemia, and he was dead on Friday.
What?
And so, like, within 1 week, that's how fast these turbo cancers are killing people.
So part of this whole agenda involved heavy, heavy censorship.
Oh, for sure.
Now, I believe you were named as one of the so-called Dirty Dozen.
The disinformation dozen.
Yeah, the disinformation dozen.
Right.
But since that day, what has come out in the last, I would say, couple of years is, you know, proof that this was a government-run censorship operation. In fact, you know, my company has sued the DOD and sued elements of the government and big tech. But they laundered the censorship through overseas NGOs, out of the UK, for example, which then ordered big tech in America to censor voices like yours. Now, you and I know that censorship ultimately costs people their lives.
Absolutely.
So censorship is a form of complicity in mass murder.
Yes, it is. And we just filed a, the disinformation there, I think there are 8 of the 12 of us.
Right.
We just filed a big lawsuit with the government about violation of our 1st, 4th, and 14th Amendment rights, and also tortuous interference with contracts. Like, I'm still permanently banned from PayPal. And we found a document that a congressman had set this up, that we needed to be defunded. Uh-huh. And there was a whole list of like 12 or 14 other congresspeople that had signed it. And the first time I even had ever seen that was in our lawsuit that we filed against the government. Because I was always wondering, how did they go after PayPal? How did they make that stop? And they took all the money out of our PayPal accounts and never returned it. And then stopped us from using. And to this day, I can't even set up a sub account with one of my other companies through the company. And the problem with that at the beginning, it may sound like no big deal to the listener, but I have a lot of virtual employees, and that's how we were paying them. And that's how we were getting paid from a lot of our products. And so we had to scramble because the banks, you know, even when you try to use Zelle or Wise or things like that, you have a maximum amount at a time that you can send out over a monthly basis. Sure. It took several months. It was really dicey of what they did. And I'm still permanently banned from Podbean. In fact, you know, Podbean is a podcast hosting server. And on the very day that I got an autoresponder from Podbean that said, congratulations, you've just had 1 million downloads from your podcast, they wiped the account.
Of course they did.
You know.
Right. Right.
So
Podbean and YouTube and Google and Facebook, everybody else.
I'm still permanently banned from YouTube and Facebook.
Right.
Permanently.
And that was all maliciously done.
Yes.
I believe in order to silence voices like yours that were teaching people how to stay alive.
Yeah, it's true.
And so the only rational conclusion, I believe, but I want to hear your reaction, is that there was an organized real life conspiracy to achieve depopulation or extermination or mass death for whatever reasons. We can speculate on the reasons, but it's clear that that was an agenda.
It remains an agenda.
Yes.
It still is.
That's right.
You know, and they still are doing it. And then I've often gone, you know, a step beyond that and said, you know, if they're going to go to all this money, expense, power, manipulation, control to depopulate from the top down and kill off all the elderly people and people in our age groups and, you know, things like that, they want to make sure that those young people don't refill up the pot again.
Right.
So that's why, you know, the predilection of these lipid nanoparticles to testicles and ovaries. And so that they, you know, are really bad. And, you know, the lipid nanoparticle attraction to the ovaries is really, really bad. I mean, when little girls are born, their ovaries have approximately 3 million eggs in them, and that's all they're ever going to make. You know, unlike...
They have that many eggs?
When they're born.
Oh, really?
But by the time they get to... I learned this from one of the doctors that was on my show.
Okay.
And then an OB-GYN. And then by the time they get to 20 or, you know, 20, 25, when they want to start to have babies, that has gone down to about 300,000. And then by the time you get to menopause, it's gone down to, you know, maybe 500-600. Now, think about this for a minute, Mike. If you start out with this, and it's unlike with men, with little boys, you know, they're constantly making sperm their whole life. And so that's a self-propagating organ. With ovaries, you get a finite amount.
That's right.
Now, what happens when you're giving the COVID jabs to pregnant moms? And then you give them to six 6-month-old baby girls. Now, you've already taken their ovaries and made them incapacitated and cut down on the amount of eggs. And I said, so are these little girls going to be infertile will they ever go through menopause? And the doctor who had told me this said, well, we don't know yet because not enough years have gone by. And if the little girls don't go through menopause and they don't start cycling with their estrogen and progesterone, the estrogen is so important for breast development, brain development, you know, bone development, all these different things. That will compromise their entire life, not just their ability to have children.
So what you're saying is that men can't have babies.
That too.
Okay. All jokes aside, wasn't there a recent study that talked about the actual percentage of destruction of eggs in women post-vaccine. Didn't I thought I saw something about that.
I don't know, but it would be kind of a theory because, you know, the shots have only been out for 5 years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if we, let's say the babies, when and then they just, they didn't start vaccinating babies right away. It was like probably 23.
Uh-huh.
So in the last 2 years, they've just now been giving the shots to pregnant women and to these little girls. There's not enough years that have gone by to actually know.
True.
What, by the time they get to be 12 or 13, when they should be going through puberty, whether they're going to go through puberty or not. But my contention with that isn't, it's not just about their ability to have babies. I mean, in a woman's body, in a female body, you know, the cycle of the estrogen and progesterone is so important for your bones, for your brain, for the breast development, for everything else that happens in you. I mean, it's so important for just the bones as they grow from forming bones to final bones, you need to have the estrogen and all that stuff. Well, if your ovaries don't work from the time you're six and they never work as you get older,
right,
it's going to be more compromising to those girls than just an inability to have children.
But this all seems to be, of course, part of the plan. And no one, and this leads me to your book, no one is being held accountable.
Exactly.
For any of this.
For any of it.
And I think you and I would both agree that some of what has been committed is clearly criminal behavior.
Well, yeah, and here's Fauci's still walking around.
Yes.
Birx is walking around, and now she's a board member on Palantir. And
I saw that.
And Echo Health is still around.
Yeah.
You know, all of these people that were criminally involved with this, there has been zero accountability for all this death, damage, carnage, and all these things that are happening.
And it seems like there's really no push to have accountability.
It seems
right
like
now,
not.
Right? Let's talk about your book. It's called Zero Accountability in a Failed System. I've got it up on Amazon right now on my screen. It's available at booksellers everywhere.
That's not true.
Oh.
It's only available at Amazon right now. Because the rest of the booksellers are not allowing us to go up on...
Barnes & Noble won't allow?
Mm-mm. We're having all kinds of trouble with them. And we want to get to other platforms because we know that a lot of people don't want to feed the beast. They don't want to buy from Amazon.
Right.
But right now, that's the only option.
Wow. So it's really Barnes and Ignoble, I think, is what they've become.
Seriously.
They don't want you to have the knowledge
right.
of what's in your book.
We don't have the wherewithal to have a shipping department to be able to ship them out on our own.
Yeah.
So at this point in time, the only place that you will be able to get it is through Amazon.
Dr. Suzanne Humphreys wrote the foreword.
Yes.
And she has also been an incredible champion in this space.
You know, it's so interesting when she wrote the foreword. She had written me a foreword, and then I added like 150 pages to the book. And I said, Suzanne, you're going to have to do this again. And she said, no, don't tell me. I said, so just focus on, you don't have to read the beginning, but just go to chapters maybe 12, 13, or 13, 14, and 15, because that's where the new really meaty stuff is. So she did that, and then she went back and read the whole thing again. And she said, you know, I really thought I knew this stuff. I really thought I knew about it.
Uh-huh.
And she and I are kind of like the vaccine queens. And if we're, and she said, but I didn't know so much. And the way that you put this together, it really has taught me a lot. And so that's kind of a great testimonial from somebody that should, you know, kind of know all those different things.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've only glanced at your book. I can't wait to read it. I know I will learn a tremendous amount from what you've put together, but give us kind of an overview of the focus of the book. It's not just about the vaccines themselves.
Mm-mm.
It's about the entire infrastructure of how they are unfairly and unscientifically pushed on a population.
Well, and it's not just about vaccines either. There's a whole chapter in there about the weaponization of our healthcare system. I mean, that's sort of the subtitle of the book, how they weaponize public health. And so I start with the public health movement, you know, way back from in the 1400s from Venice. You know, if anybody's followed my writings and things for a long time, they know I really like history because I believe that if you don't know how you got here, it really doesn't mean anything. And you're going to repeat those lessons from history.
Yeah.
So we talk about quarantine from that perspective and the weaponization of our health care system, which started primarily with Medicare. So I talk about that in the electronic medical records, the Healthy People program that started in 1980, which people in our sector, in the health freedom sector, really don't talk about that very much, about how they've weaponized that against us and used this thing that they call now the social determinants of health and how that all comes into play. So there's big sections about that, about the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, you know, that got released in 2021. So there, and then that leads up to the PREP Act. And then there's big sections in there about the PREP Act and about the Covered Countermeasure Injury Compensation Program. That's a CICP for short, that has, by a law that was created in 2005 that did not allow them to set up an injury table, to fund it, and to do anything for the 1.6 million people that filed VAERS reports.
Uh-huh.
And so the last time I looked, which was a couple of weeks ago, they had only adjudicated 40 claims through the CICP program. Two people got substantial claims. So if you consider those as outliers and average the other 38 people, that their average compensation was about $4,000.
For vaccine injury.
For all their vaccine injury.
Wow.
And they have not compensated a death. And there have been places along the way that even in the VAERS system that was set up in 1986, if someone dies, you know, they can go through the whole vaccine court system and all that stuff. The cap on a death payment is $250,000. And several times they have tried to initiate bills in through Congress to escalate that $250,000 from 1986 to the equivalent of 2025, which would be probably close to $500,000, which is more reasonable with inflation and all that stuff.
At least, I would think, yeah.
At least as far as that. And neither time had they done that, has it got out of committee.
So it's clear to anyone paying attention that the pharmaceutical industry is steeped in multiple levels of fraud, financial fraud, research fraud, scientific fraud, government grant money, laundering, you know, everything that you can possibly think of. You know, there are graves of dead black children that Fauci, you know, experimented on, right? And it goes on and on. And also animals, the beagles and all, you know, we all know those stories. But this has been an industry, the pharmaceutical and the vaccine industry, steeped in not only horrific crimes against humanity and crimes against children, but also waging a very effective propaganda war where they own most of the doctors, the mainstream doctors. They own most of the medical journals in terms of influence, and they buy off the media. So, and of course, they bought their own legal immunity since 1986. How can this ever be shattered to where we can get back to some reasonable level of dialogue and legal liability for an industry that manufactures harmful and deadly products?
Well, I think the easiest path to that, the first thing that can be done is with the PREP Act. And I talk about this in the book, that they had filed, since the beginning of COVID, they had filed 13 amendments to extend it. And the last thing that Becerra, or one of the last things that Becerra did, who was the Xavier Becerra, who was the head of HHS before he left, one of the last things he did was extend it through December of 2029.
Uh-huh.
And that means that the EUA remains in place when there's no emergency,
right,
but the protections of the EUA of being able to sue the pharmaceutical company for all this death and destruction now maintains in place. So the first thing that could be done, and this is one of the things that Secretary Kennedy could do as the head of HHS, is just march right over there and pull out those paperworks and say, effective today, the PREP Act is no longer in place and the EUA protections provided by SAME end today. And then they could start with the lawsuits for all these people that have been injured. The second thing that they could do...
Well, and then also you could call for the arrest of Becerra because... You know, and Becerra is online complaining about RFK Jr. like crazy. Oh, everything. You know, any decision that even reduces Big Pharma's control a tiny percentage, you know, the entire pharmaceutical shilling medical system erupts with outrage. Like, children are going to die. No, like, you're killing children.
Exactly. Exactly. You are killing children when you think that a fabricated virus or a mild virus that's just a rash and some diarrhea and comes and goes and leaves a lifetime immunity, that's not going to kill children.
Right.
You kill children,
yeah,
with all of these deadly things that you inject in them.
They do. And I wish that Becerra would be on the arrest list along with Fauci and
Burks.
Yeah, Burks and Collins,
yep.
I think, also.
And all the people at Echo Health.
Yep.
And all of those people. So after they get rid of the PrEP Act, the second thing that can be done is I think it needs to be a renovation of the 1986 Injury Compensation Act. I think we're wading into dangerous waters if we want to just repeal that.
Really?
Because we want to leave a carve out that we could still have theirs. We could still have the injury compensation program. We could still have those things for people that are in the process along the way, because it's the only thing we got. And other countries around the world don't have that. And
but
so,
the court, the injury compensation court system, is a clown show.
It is, and that's where some of the revisions need to happen inside of the Federal Court of Claims. You know, they're backed up 3 years, and that's another thing I talk about in the book, is they're backed up for 3 years because by when this law was passed in 1986, they only allowed so many special masters. I think there's 9, and they've got all of these cases. And that at that time, think about that, Mike. You know, at the time when that was passed, there were only 3 vaccines, MMR, DPT, and polio. And now kids get multiple doses of 17 different vaccines. So there's more injuries. When I first started doing this, they were getting maybe around 8,000 VAERS reports a year. Now, pre-COVID, it was up to between 30 and 35,000. And we know that the VAERS reports only capture about 10% of the injuries. And so, but the same number of judges that they call special masters are available for adjudication. And so the backlog has just gotten worse and worse and worse. And so there are things inside of that act that I think are good for the people, and we need to remove the protection from the pharmaceutical industry. You know, years and years ago, I used to be a consultant for a Fortune 200 company. This was like 2014, 15, around in there. And I remember they had like 7 different divisions inside of this company, and I got to be really good friends with the CEO. And he hated the vaccines and hated vaccine injury, and he said, you know, I would love it if the government would protect all of my products from liability and guarantee that I have 77,000 new customers per week that were forced to buy my products.
Right.
He said, what a bonanza, you know, and that's exactly what's happened with the pharmaceutical industry.
Well, of course, and it doesn't seem to be, you know, they're still pushing jabs. And even under Secretary Kennedy, and I want to talk to you about his work more in the second half of our interview, but even under him, there are still, you know, the FDA is still approving vaccines like this MNEX spike without any long-term clinical trials.
Without any studies anything. At all.
Yeah. So, and then, but then we're promised that, well, we're going to do the science after we release it.
It's like,
and I'm thinking,
that in what world does that happen?
In the world of idiocracy, that happens.
I mean, think about this. If you were going to create a new gizmo for your car, and we don't know if when you drive 65 miles an hour, if it was going to break apart and cause a crash, but we're just going to release it and let you start using it. And then after the fact, we're going to count the number of accidents and determine whether or not it was safe.
Right. And we'll call that science.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, so that they're admittedly using Americans as medical experiments, guinea pigs, to find out. See, I condemned Secretary Kennedy on this point. I said famous quotes in history. Nancy Pelosi, we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. And I said, Secretary Kennedy, we have to release the vaccine to find out if it's backed by science. Now, that's a paraphrase.
That's very good.
He didn't say it exactly that.
But pretty close to that.
Pretty close to that. And, you know, look, I compliment Kennedy when I think he does the right things. And I'll criticize when I think he does something
wrong. Same here.
But that was clearly not... I responded to somebody on Twitter. They said, well, it's the gold standard of science. And I said, no, it's the turd standard of science. It's like a giant turd. I mean, to say... we're going to release it and then we'll do the studies? What is that?
And I think that I have a little issue with that in that, you know, people are taking, you know, Secretary Kennedy, Bobby, that we've all known for, you know, 20 years as friend and colleague and things like that. So out of respect, we'll, you know, get his title, Secretary Kennedy. It's not him. It's Makary. And people are not calling him out at all.
Yeah, I've called him out some.
But not much.
Yeah.
But he's the one, he's the head of the FDA.
Right, right.
He's the one who's, I don't know if he signs off or one of his people signs off, but they're the ones who release it. Now, truthfully, Secretary Kennedy could go to Macari and say, stop.
He could, exactly. But,
so they're both complicit? They're both at fault?
Well, there are a lot of theories, obviously, about, you know, how much was already in play, how much effectiveness Secretary Kennedy can have. Let's save that discussion for the second part of this interview. But I was just pointing that out to show that this is still being pushed on the American people. And one of the big frustrations that we all have, those of us who are informed, like people who read your book, people who watch the show, is why can't we just stop killing children with vaccines today? Why can't we do that?
I think it's more complicated than the way it sounds, because those of us like you and me and a whole bunch of other people in our movement, like the Bollingers, like everybody who's been in this and steeped in it for I've been doing it for 25 years.
Yes.
We know it. We understand it. We see it as clearly as this microphone sitting here. We see it. But there's a big swath of the American public that just goes in and rolls up their sleeve. And they just think that, well, my doctor said it's okay. I got to vaccinate my babies. And so if suddenly it was gone, I mean, look at what happened when they just tried to, you know, I was really commending, you know, Secretary Kennedy, but when he was saying, okay, we're no longer going to advocate this for pregnant women and healthy children. And the internet blew up like, okay, you're going to give it to unhealthy children. That's okay, but not healthy children.
Right.
And so I wrote a piece on my Substack, which is dr10penny.substack.com, that I said, you know, I get where your frustration is, but think about this. There's been one vaccine that has been pulled off the schedule, the Rotashield vaccine that has been pulled off the schedule, and that was in 1999.
Really?
There has been nothing else done in that schedule. The ACIP committee never saw a vaccine it didn't like.
That's right.
It approves everything and every dose, and they just rubber stamp it along the way. And so I looked at it as that was sort of like a toe in the water. Let's move this forward a little bit and see what the response is.
Yeah.
And our side blew up bigger than the rest of the people did. You know?
Well, yeah.
Because we want it all done 100% now, and we can't see any reason why it can't be. Well, there's a lot, you know, you got those senators out there that want to, like, put your head on the chopping block. You know, we want to make sure that Trump doesn't fire him. We want to make sure that all these things are moving forward. We're getting the rest of the population educated to where, because if they don't listen to you and they don't listen to me and they don't listen to Alex and, you know, other people like that, that they don't know. They, you know, they got their two shots and their six boosters and they can't wait to get the next one. Because they think that the vaccines are safe, effective, necessary, and harmless. And it's just not true.
Yeah, it's just not true. And the thing is, when those people die, they can no longer speak about their realization in the afterlife.
It's right. Like,
oh, crap. I actually committed vaccine suicide, but now I can't tell anybody. You know?
It's true.
I imagine how frustrating that would be. You know, you're in the afterlife. You're like, man,
no,
the vaccines
stop,
did kill me.
Stop.
You know, you try to come back as a ghost and haunt people with an anti-vaccine message. You know, no, but I mean, this is a very serious matter. Obviously, that we're talking about, that the people who, even the people who are injured, they usually, I've seen this. You've seen this in people. They will say, well, even though I almost died from this heart attack or whatever, good thing I took the vaccine or it would have been worse.
Exactly.
So that's a level of indoctrination or Stockholm syndrome.
Well, it's a multi-generational indoctrination that's been going on for 200 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of it is like, trust your doctor. You know, even the television commercials, ask your doctor if this is the right drug for you.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And all that stuff. And so ask your doctor. And then you look at the indoctrination of the physicians. I'm telling you, if the pharmaceutical industry wasn't so evil and so nefarious, it is the most brilliant business model in the world. You take the brightest minds out of college, you indoctrinate, you convince them that they need to go $400,000 in debt to get a piece of paper that says that they're allowed to write prescriptions. And what they do is they write words on a piece of paper and they hand them out all day long, making me $400 billion a year. And I don't have to pay them. I don't have to pay off their school loans. I don't have to pay for their vacations. I don't have to pay them a stipend. I don't have to pay any workers' comp. I don't have to pay any of that stuff. They are out there writing words on a piece of paper, making me billions of dollars a year after they went $400,000 in debt to be entitled to be able to do that.
Right.
I mean, think about that, Mike. Think about how what a brilliant business model that is.
Yeah, and they have no liability for the vaccines, right?
Or no liability for the drugs they write. If they write the wrong drug and people, you know, have an anaphylactic reaction,
it's
or
incredible.
They die. So it's the malpractice insurance people over there that have to do that.
Well, and what I want to ask you about for part two, now we're going to wrap up this part one here, but I want to encourage our viewers to check out part two of this interview. I want to ask you about AI, because AI medicine is going to replace a lot of those doctors, since they're nothing but algorithms in human bodies anyway, you know, in the way they practice medicine, right? They're just algorithms. They're just elaborate vending machines. So that's easy to replace with AI.
Elaborate vending machines?
Yeah, they're just vending machines for big pharma, right? But that's easy to replace. But let me mention your book again, Zero, Accountability in a Failed System. There it is on Amazon. And also, we've got it on the desk. Can you show the desk shot there? There it is. Zero, Accountability in a Failed System. You know, right next to the incubation chamber of the chemtrails microbes, which are living. That's the reason there's a dome, is because it's alive. We can put it under the microscope if we dare. But anyway, that's the book, Zero, Accountability in a Failed System. Check it out. It's available apparently only on Amazon
right
at the
now.
Moment. It's banned at other places, I just
so
learned.
So far, at least they're not being very accommodating, and we're still working on it.
Okay.
Because we understand that not everybody wants to buy from Amazon, you know, that. But at this point in time, you can find it off, can find it and read more about it on our website, which is drtenpenny.com/zero.
Oh.
You can find it there if you want to read more about it. And read more about what's in it, and see the table of contents and all those things. But you have to. But it will send you to Amazon to sell it, because we don't have the ability in our little company to be boxing up and selling out books.
That makes sense. And also, aren't we working with you for another streaming event at Brighton University?
You are.
So that'll be coming up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know when that's going to be, but you know, folks, you can watch for it. So, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, everybody. Get her book, follow her website, follow her Substack, and she's also on X. What's your account name on X?
Busy Dr. T.
Busy Dr. T.
Yeah, Busy DRT.
Oh, really?
Dr. T.
Okay, all right.
It's at Busy Dr. T. Yeah, that's my thing, my handle on X.
Okay, perfect. All right, so this is the conclusion of part one of our interview, and we'll post part two separately, so be sure to check that out as well. We'll be talking about AI, and also Dr. Tenpenny's feedback on Secretary Kennedy's recent decision to wipe clean the ACIP advisory board at the CDC, and what happens next. So be sure to check out that interview next. Thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams here of Brighteon.com. Take care. Thank you for supporting us at HealthRangerStore.com. And we've got a new batch of turmeric in stock now. After a long search, the supply chains are really becoming more difficult. And turmeric, as you know, is often contaminated with lead. So of course, we do mass spec elemental testing for lead, cadmium, you know, arsenic, mercury, and other elements. We found an ultra clean batch, and we have it available for you now. I have it on my desk. We've got turmeric root powder. Certified organic, laboratory tested, identity confirmed, all that. E. coli tested, microbiology, you name it. We've got it all for you at healthrangerstore.com. We do not have turmeric tincture back in stock. We're working on that, but we do have the turmeric root powder. And as you know, I include turmeric root powder in my own smoothie, which is why it's orange. It's why my dental work turns orange, which freaks out the dental hygienist as well. But that's another story. Okay, so if you want really good, high quality, ultra clean turmeric root powder, we've got it now. HealthRangerStore.com. We also have, yeah, there's the screen showing it to you. We also have astaxanthin. Astaxanthin, Hawaiian astaxanthin, we have it right now in stock. Of course, this is known as the king of carotenoids. This is a fat-soluble, super potent antioxidant. And it's got a multitude of uses and benefits and support mechanisms for human health. Athletes use it. Lots of people use it. This is also what turns the flesh of salmon slightly pink. That's actually the astaxanthin that they're getting from their dietary sources. And it's believed to help support the natural athleticism and the endurance and stamina of salmon. That's just one of the many benefits of the king of carotenoids. Now, astaxanthin is in a dark bottle because it's sensitive to light. But it's very potent. You only need either 2 or 4 milligrams per day. We've got that available for you right now, healthrangerstore.com. We also have a supply of NAC in stock, N-acetylcysteine, which of course helps support the body's normal detoxification process with outstanding liver support and the glutathione and so much more. So check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. Turmeric root powder, astaxanthin capsules, as well as NAC, all in stock right now, plus hundreds of other items that are also certified organic, laboratory tested, non-GMO, and we don't use synthetic, you know, colors, fragrances, fillers, garbage, none of that stuff, nothing like that. Ultra clean products for home, for health, for personal care, for nutrition, and also for long-term food storage, for emergency preparedness. Check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for your support. We appreciate you very much. We couldn't do this without you. Thanks for watching. Take care.